Today is Thursday, October 24th. What to know today about Republican lawmakers protesting the impeachment inquiry, more blackouts in California, and what Facebook CEO had to say about cryptocurrency and political ads. Plus, Google claims a major computing breakthrough, and YouTube teases its first ever interactive movie. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Note Thursday's bonus interview about new travel requirements. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The impeachment inquiry took a dramatic turn. Republican lawmakers stormed a secure room where private testimony was supposed to happen. The New York Times reports about two dozen Republicans pushed past Capitol police officers, barged into the room, and refused to leave for hours. Republicans and Democrats then started yelling at each other. It got so heated, the House Sergeant at Arms, who's basically the top law enforcement officer in the Capitol building, was called in to help handle the situation. ABC News reports Republicans pushed their way into the room because they feel they're unfairly denied access, and they want to help question Laura Cooper, who was scheduled to give a deposition. She's a Pentagon official in charge of Ukraine policy and the first from the Defense Department to testify. Well, not every lawmaker gets to be part of the interview process for this investigation. Politico reports only the ones who are on the three House committees leading the impeachment inquiry are in these sessions. Keep in mind, there are both Democrats and Republicans on those committees. But some Republicans feel the inquiry has a one-sided set of rules and should not be closed to the public, while Democrats say the protest was meant to distract from the damaging testimony happening inside. Either way, Laura Cooper's testimony eventually did happen yesterday once everyone who stormed the room was cleared out. Cooper talked to lawmakers for about 3 hours. No word yet on what she said behind closed doors. She was expected to be questioned on why the U.S. withheld nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine, that same money that others have alleged was meant to pressure Ukraine's president to investigate President Trump's political rivals, which the White House denies. To be continued. President Trump is lifting the financial penalties on Turkey and saying a ceasefire in Syria will be permanent. In a White House speech, Trump called the truce a major breakthrough and said it's time for someone else to fight this fight. He further defended his decision to pull most U.S. troops out of northeastern Syria, leaving Kurdish fighters to fend for themselves. But remember, Trump has faced criticism from both parties over this, as many say pulling U.S. troops gave U.S. rivals like Russia and the Syrian government, and maybe even ISIS, more power in the region and hurt America's credibility. The extended ceasefire comes as Turkey and Russia made a deal and both take more control in the region. Some sad news out of the UK to tell you about. Police found 39 people dead in a truck container outside of London yesterday in what the AP is calling one of Britain's worst human smuggling tragedies. Police are still trying to figure out who the victims are and how and why they ended up in the tractor trailer. The driver was arrested and Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he's, quote, appalled by the incident. Another blackout for parts of California, and this one might not be the last. The LA Times reports hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses are expected to lose power this week, including in parts of Sonoma, Napa, Lake, and Mendocino counties. The electric company PG&E has decided to cut power as a precaution when the forecast calls for hot, dry weather with high winds. In other words, it's meant to protect their equipment from causing a wildfire. Because remember, PG&E was blamed for a deadly wildfire that happened 1 year ago this week, and the company is now in bankruptcy procedures. Well, these blackouts are the new unprecedented solution. Cutting off power this week is the second massive blackout this month. And now PG&E is keeping an eye on another weather event that could spark more blackouts over the weekend or next week. And reports say other power companies are now considering something similar in an effort to prevent wildfires. Facebook's CEO was in the hot seat once again. Lawmakers questioned Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg for 6 hours yesterday. This was mainly about the cryptocurrency Facebook wants to start called Libra. Zuckerberg has said he won't actually launch it unless he gets the okay from U.S. regulators. Well, lawmakers aren't so sure. CBS News reports some want Facebook broken up, saying the company has too much power. Others are just concerned about the high-profile corporations like PayPal and Visa that used to be on board with Libra but are no longer backing the project. Zuckerberg admitted it's a, quote, risky enterprise. He says the goal of Libra is to make a universal online currency and payment system that will help people around the world who don't have access to bank accounts. But the AP reports lawmakers are worried about how it will impact the financial market and consumer privacy. Either way, Zuckerberg told lawmakers they can't take too much time debating this because the U.S. will fall behind other countries. For example, China is getting ready to launch similar cryptocurrency ideas in the coming months. And one more thing, Zuckerberg was also questioned about Facebook's policies for political ads. Last month, Facebook said it would not take down political ads even if they include false information. Then this week, CNBC says the company changed course a little bit, or at least tried to clarify, saying it would take down anything that might cause voter suppression, like telling people the wrong election date. But it still wasn't completely clear where Facebook would draw the line. Critics say the company should be fact-checking political ads, period. Zuckerberg says voters should see who tries to lie. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor, Blinkist. With social media and work and family and whatever else, you may not think you have time to sit down and read a book or develop yourself. Well, you do with Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down for you into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen quickly. I'm working while on the road this week, and it's nice knowing I have quick reads at my fingertips while waiting at the airport or in the Starbucks line. Blinkist has a big library of books, too. So when I hear about a book that might be interesting, I can pull up the app right then and there on my phone and get reading or listening and learning within minutes. From the book Factfulness, 10 Reasons We're Wrong About the World and Why Things Are Better Than You Think, to other popular books like The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And right now, Blinkist has a special offer. Go to Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/news. Now, back to the news. Google made a computer that's faster than anything we've seen before. Google says it made a machine that only needs 200 seconds to solve a problem that right now would take the world's fastest supercomputer 10,000 years to figure out. It's a breakthrough known as quantum supremacy, something CNET says scientists have been working toward for a decade. To be clear, quantum computers are much different than normal computers. They process data differently and much faster. So what could this mean for the future? The computers could eventually be used for things like creating new medications, helping with financial investments, and speeding up package delivery with smarter routes, and more. But this milestone is not coming without controversy. IBM says, for example, Google overestimated the difficulty of the computing task, saying instead of taking 10,000 years to complete, it would only take classical computers about 2.5 days, which wouldn't actually be quantum supremacy. Either way, researchers are excited about the potential progress. Speaking of Google, it's launching a handful of experimental apps to basically help you stop using your phone quite as much. They're called Digital Well-Being Experiments, and there are 5 of them. The first one is called Unlock Clock. Reports say it's a live wallpaper that counts and displays the number of times per day you unlock your phone. It's supposed to help you see how often you check your device. Another one is called Postbox, which changes the way users get notifications. Instead of getting them all day long and constantly checking your phone, Gizmodo says Postbox will gather all of your notifications throughout the day and give them to you in a bundle up to 4 times a day. The experiments can be used for the day, a week, or however long is helpful. Google hopes this inspires other developers to come up with more digital well-being experiments on their own. YouTube's first ever interactive film is coming. The trailer just came out and it's called Heist with Markiplier. Variety says it will feature the popular gaming creator Markiplier as a super criminal who tries to steal artifacts from the world's most secure museums. Viewers will then get to make decisions about what happens next in that movie. There are more than 30 possible ways the movie could end, depending on the user's choices. And apparently some choices may mean the main character dies. This kind of thing is similar to what Netflix did with Black Mirror Bandersnatch. YouTube says A Heist with Markiplier comes out October 30th and will be free to watch and interact with. Verizon wants to offer its customers a free year of Disney Plus. That's Disney's new video streaming service. CNBC says the deal will be available to new and existing Verizon customers. The offer is worth nearly $85 based on the $7 monthly subscription fee for Disney Plus. Of course, this is a win for both companies. Disney will get a bunch of early subscribers, and many of them will continue subscribing after the free year is up. And it's good for Verizon, too, since the promotion may reel in new customers. This deal is similar to Apple's offer for Apple TV Plus. CNBC says Apple is giving a year of its service for free to customers who buy a new Apple product. Both Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus launch next month. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know, only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about Real ID. In just 1 year, all travelers flying within the United States must have a new form of identification to get on the plane. In other words, your old driver's license won't cut it anymore, even for domestic travel, starting October 1st, 2020. Instead, you'll need something called Real ID. My guest today is Jaime Garza. He works with the California Department of Motor Vehicles, or DMV, and he'll be breaking down what information travelers across the country need to know and do now about the new Real ID requirement coming up next year. Hello, Jaime. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
My pleasure.
So first, let's just explain the basics. What is Real ID and why is it a thing in the first place?
You know, that's the most common question I typically get because people really aren't clear as to what Real ID is. So this is what it is. After the terrorist attacks of 9/11, the 9/11 Commission made a recommendation that said that the country should set some minimum standards across all 50 states in terms of issuing driver licenses and identification cards to make sure that there are minimum standards for identity verification and security features that are contained within these cards. That's simply what Real ID is. And beginning October 1st, 2020, the federal government is going to require that you have one of these two cards or another federally approved document in order to fly within the United States or enter secure federal facilities and military bases. Let me put it a different way because some people quite don't understand. If you're going to fly to Hawaii, New York, you're going to go to Chicago, you're going to go to Alaska for that matter, anywhere within the United States, you are now going to need to provide some form of federally approved document to get on that plane and fly. Wasn't like that before. So hopefully that makes it clear.
And so when you're talking about a federally approved document, that's going to be this new version of your driver's license or ID, or you can also bring a passport or something else that helps prove your identity if you have not had a chance to get this new Real ID.
That is correct. So the federal government, TSA, says you can use everything such as a passport card, a global entry card, a U.S. Department of Defense ID, that's a military ID, a permanent resident card, a border crossing card. TSA has a whole list of documents on its website.
Let's talk about what makes it different. So you need to have more paperwork to get it, and there's new technology within the card, right? Can you explain that?
Yes. So in California, we have beefed up the security features that are within the California driver license and identification card. In order to get a Real ID version of that driver license, because we do issue two driver licenses and they both offer you the same driving privileges, the only difference is that you're going to see a star in the upper right-hand corner, which makes sure that it is a Real ID card. And all the 50 states have that star. And when you see that, that means you've physically gone into a DMV facility in your state, and you've provided necessary documentations that the federal government is requiring. There tends to be confusion that this is a state program, when in fact it is a federal program and it's guided by the Department of Homeland Security. The thing is that every state has to implement its own program, and it works closely with Homeland Security in order to make sure it meets the correct requirements, so those cards that are being issued to the general population meet the federal standards.
I'm glad you brought that up. So even though it's a federal program, there are some differences state to state, correct? So where should people be looking to check what their state requirements are and when they can actually get their version of the Real ID?
We have a one-stop shop website, Real ID, here in California. Other states have their own websites. And so we encourage folks to check with their state Department of Motor Vehicles or Department of Transportation and find out specifically what the process is in their states. In California, we've been very, very fortunate that all of our major airports and our regional airports have teamed up with us to provide information within the terminals. And they're doing that for free because they know once October 1st, 2020 comes around, it could be chaotic in their airports if people are not familiar with the Real ID requirements.
Even with all those efforts, do you fully expect there will be people on October 1st, 2020 that show up to the airport with their ID from before and no passport who are not able to get on the plane?
Unfortunately, yes. And so that's why we are making a huge effort to get the word out. In fact, we tell the folks in California here, don't procrastinate. Find out if you want to get a real ID. But remember, the federal government will allow other types of documents. So a lot of people have said, I'll use my passport, or I will wait until my driver license is up for renewal. And that's what we encourage Californians to do. Wait till your driver license is up for renewal to come into the office and then handle the process. I can't stress enough, not only to Californians, but to Americans across the country, that October 1st, 2020 is a very important date. The federal government will be enforcing new federal identification requirements to fly within the United States and to enter federal facilities like courthouses or military bases. And you should be preparing now. Don't wait until the last second. So make sure you check with your local state operation to find out if, in fact, they are offering the Real ID currently. And if they are, what is the process that's required in order for you to get prepared?
And just to clarify, international travel does not change. You'll still need your passport.
I'm glad you made that point because some people are confused. This new requirement only is for travel within the United States, the 50 states. So keep that in mind. It's not for international travel. You will still need a passport to fly internationally.
And you can learn more about the Real ID and all the stories we mentioned in this episode in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening today. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.